Good morning. Today I'll be reading from John chapter 1, verse 35 to 51. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon, and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas." The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip from Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
Good morning, church. There we go. Morning, everyone. So good to have you all with us. This is an exciting Sunday. Not because it's raining, not because we only have 5 weeks of summer vacation left, but because we get to come here today and worship Jesus. Now, we're starting a new series today. Anyways, we are starting a new series today, despite technical difficulties. The series we're going to be starting is about the questions Jesus asked. We're going to be covering this for the next 5 weeks. And we're going to be starting with the first question Jesus asked today. But this series is really exciting for me, because at the end of it, on August 30th, Wesley and Noah are going to come up together and preach the last question Jesus asked. Isn't that exciting, church family? Now, when I was preparing this series, I kept thinking about the first question Jesus asked. And we see it in John chapter 1. Any luck, Dave? All right. Well, let me come down and grab a Bible so I can work through the text. Because I had put it in slides. Thank you. We're going old school. So it says in verse 29, "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" John describes Jesus as the Lamb of God. This is not by accident. He's intentionally describing who Jesus is. Actually, we see this. If you go back to Exodus, and I believe it's chapter 13, verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 13. I could tell you if I had the slide. But the summation is basically some of what Passover is. It's that if you put the blood of the lamb on the door, your house will not receive any plagues. You will be totally covered because of the blood of the lamb. If you go a little further into the Old Testament, you'll see in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. where it essentially says that like a lamb, he was led to slaughter, and he did not open his mouth. Isaiah was, of course, prophesizing Jesus' death at the cross. And then if we flip to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 19, I believe it is. It says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without blemish or spot. We see continually that Jesus is the lamb who was sacrificed for us. So when John sees him, he's like, the Lamb of God! He's so excited, right? And we see that in verse 29. To give context, John has been doing his own ministry for many, many years. And John is excited to finally see who Jesus is. I was thinking about the first question Jesus asks, which occurs in verse 35. Or starting in verse 35, the next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them and said to them, what are you seeking? That's the first thing Jesus says in the Gospel of John. What are you seeking? He's basically asking, what are you looking for? I took this, guys, you might need the USB stick. I took this to mean, genuinely, why do people come to church? What are you looking for? And I was thinking about that when I was preparing the sermon. I was like, what are you looking for? This past month, I've decided that I have to start cooking more. So I've decided that I would go to Costco. Anyone ever been to Costco? Right? Yeah, you've been to Costco. So I went to Costco and I had a list. I was going to get chicken breast, steak, bag of rice, olive oil, and maybe a hot dog. That was the list. Costco is the only place in the world where you can buy chicken and a kayak and have it on one bill. So I went for my list, and let me tell you, I got it. I got my chicken, my steak, my avocado oil, my rice, and my hot dog. I also got a bag of s'mores treats, a family-sized bag of chips. They had ice cream sandwiches on sale. And before you knew it, I left with a lot more than I had come prepared to spend. And I was thinking about this Costco. I used to bash my mom when she's like, I'm going to Costco. I'm like, Mom, you're so old. Why would you go to Costco? Costco is so cool. Now that I'm older, I appreciate it. And I think about, if you go to Costco, you can get whatever you're looking for, right? Whatever you're searching, you can find. So when Jesus asks, what are you seeking? Church family, I want to ask you, what are you seeking? Are you looking for acceptance? Are you looking for hope? Are you looking for love? Are you looking for security? Are you looking for anything? In life, are you looking for the same thing you say you are when you come to church? What I mean by that is, when I was the youth pastor at this church and other churches, I always knew which kids could give me the church answer. Noah used to be the best at this. I'd be like, I would ask something, and he would always tell me, well, like, it's always either going to be Jesus or the Holy Spirit. And tactically, he was right. Those were the right answers. But church family, I want to take a second and ask you, if you look in your heart and evaluate yourself, what are you seeking? Not the church answer. Not the answer you would tell someone on a Sunday if I asked you to talk to each other, and you said, well, I'm seeking to learn more about my Savior. I mean, generally, in your life, Does your work reflect you're trying to find your savior, or does it reflect I'm trying to climb my career ladder? Does it reflect I want to have nice things? Does it reflect I want to find a romantic partner? Does it reflect things that are not of Christ? Because generally, what are you seeking? If you go to someplace like Costco, you can find what you're seeking, but you can find a lot of stuff you're not seeking. We live in a world where you can find what you're seeking, you can find a lot of stuff that you're not seeking. And you can find them in the same place. You can go around and you can find who God is. And you can also find things that pull you so far from Him. I want to talk about church. I know some of you are new to this church. Some of you have been here longer than I've been alive. So I'm going to ask you to take a minute, and not with the people around you, but I want you to tell each other why you first stepped foot in this church. Why you decided, I'm going to come to church. What were you looking for? Was it a savior? Was it a friend? Was it acceptance? I'm going to give you guys a couple of minutes to bond with the people around you. All right, church family, let me bring you back. Almost there. I'm so excited because technology has returned. My millennial brain was freaking out. So we covered this, covered that. It was Exodus 12:13, if you were keeping notes, where we see the Passover. We see Isaiah 53, and we see 1 Peter. Now, picking up in verse 35, it says, the next day again, John was staying with his two disciples, and we did the Lamb of God, right? But verse 37 is so interesting. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Now, John the Baptist had his own disciples. John was a teacher, a very good teacher. And people were following him, and they were learning from him. And he said immediately, no, follow him. Follow Christ. See, when he says, behold the Lamb of God, John makes the intentional point to direct people to Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. Is our job as disciples to direct people to Jesus. See, healthy churches don't just grow in numbers. A very wise pastor once told me that you can put up a tent and do a show and tons of people will come. But it's truly a sign of a healthy church if they point people towards Christ. That when you go around your congregation, when you see people who genuinely embody who Jesus is, not just on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday. People who follow God and their character exemplifies that. Actually, when I was going around, I was talking and I thought about Pastor Dave. I wasn't here when Pastor Dave served. really, I didn't get to know him the way that many of you do. But everyone that I've interacted with has said Pastor Dave was the guy who would connect us. If you missed on a Sunday, he would call you. My understanding is that was because if you missed two Sundays in a row, they were in trouble. Right, Pastor Dave? He was the guy who cared for us. And you see, that's what being a Christian is about. It's about caring for your fellow believer. Dave had the ability to point people towards Christ, and so did each and every one of you. So healthy churches are not based on size. Healthy churches are not based on great music. Trust me, they're really not based on good preaching. We do okay over here, at least when I'm going. But they genuinely point people towards God. We pick up in verse 38, it says, Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what do you seek? So we're all searching, right? Security, purpose, love, identity, peace, hope. We all come to church for different reasons. And then it always becomes, what are you looking for? We just reflected on that. And verse 39 says, he said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So Jesus offers an invitation before an explanation. Jesus doesn't say, I'm the Christ, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Prince who was promised. He says, come and see. Isn't that so interesting? Jesus answers his own question. You see that, right? And then we see them actually move. We see Andrew, he finds Jesus, gets to know who Jesus is, and then he finds Peter and points Peter towards Jesus. Philip finds Jesus, then he finds Nathaniel and points Nathaniel towards Jesus. True disciples meet Jesus and then invite others to meet him too. That's what the church is all about, right? I actually think most people meet Jesus. I didn't do a study, I don't have numbers, but I think most people come to church because someone invited them, right? So I encourage you, church family, have that awkward conversation. Invite people to church. Tell them, hey, would you mind coming on a Sunday? You know, my church is doing this really cool thing on Thursday mornings where we all just pray together. Hey, my church has small groups Monday nights and Wednesday nights. Hey, my church is going to this, or my church is doing that. Invite them to know who Jesus is by being part of this church community. I think about the Blue Jays game. We had 40-ish people at the Blue Jays game. I couldn't even get them all in the picture. Isn't that crazy? Now, I know a lot of people say, well, why would the church need to do Blue Jays games? Why would the church need to do tempo games? Why does the church do paint night? Why does the church run events where we partner with MLSE and Frontlines? Why do we give away clothes and backpacks? It's because we want to point people towards Jesus. It's because all the things we do point back to him. Isn't that cool? And let me tell you, as someone who spent a lot of time in ministry, it's a lot easier to invite someone to a Blue Jays game than a Sunday service. But they get to see how cool the church is. They get to come and see. John 1:46 says, Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Now, Nazareth wasn't a bad place, it wasn't a good place. People just didn't really know Nazareth that well. But Jesus came from Nazareth. Nazareth is significant because it was the birthplace of Christ, right? Because he's there. Jesus of Nazareth. Can anything good come out of it? Can I tell you something, church family? That's how people used to talk to me about Weston when I told them I was coming here. They told me, can anything good come out of a church that small in that community? I was at a really big church before. And people, when I told people I was coming here, they were like, why? because people have preconceived notions about areas and about churches. But I believe if a church is following Jesus, that he will do great work that men could never do. That's why I believe that the church that many people told me, oh, Pastor Tom, you don't want to go there. It's a rough neighborhood. It's pretty scary. Is now baptized more young people than any other church in CBOQ. That's a testament to the Lord Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
That's not through ministry. That's not through our ministry. That's through his ministry. That has nothing to do with great programs. It has nothing to do with great teaching or great worship. It has to do with the fact that we are a church that genuinely prays to Jesus to transform the hearts of his people, and he does it. But Jesus says, come and see. Philip repeats it, come and see. This is my biggest evangelism message I will ever say. Come and see. You want to come to Weston? Come and see if our youth pastor can really dunk. Come and see if our children's pastor will give away backpacks to all the kids in need. Come and see if you can come and fit in. Come and see. Come. Check it out. Come and see. The invitation that was used 2,000 years ago is the same invitation we use today. Come and see what Jesus is about through the acts of his people. Come and see. It's so powerful to me. That has to be our mindset. I've heard people say all kinds of things about church. Church is full of hypocrites. Church is like this. Church is like that. Well, you know what? Our church is different. You don't believe me? Come and see. Come. Because I promise that if you come, Jesus will work in your life. And it will be different for each and every one of us. If you look around this room, there's a lot of different people here. There's a lot of different cultures, a lot of different ideas. But we want to invite people to come and see. I was telling Daniel before he did the called to work before he came and introduced the service. I said, I don't think anyone's ever done that in Jordan 5s before. You might be the first guy. And isn't it cool that 2 weeks ago we can have Sister Darlene introduce worship and 2 weeks later we can have Daniel do it? Isn't it cool that everyone in this church has a voice and an opportunity to share the love of God? It's powerful. I think about the protection that comes when you know Jesus, when you invite him into your heart. I remember a church family. When I was first started seminary, they would ask us, why do you want to be a church leader? Why do you attend? And I would say, I can't always explain it, but I know that a lot of the people I grew up with are dead or in jail. And somehow God protected me. Somehow God walked with me. I wasn't always the best kid, but my mom would be in that church every Sunday praying. One of our young adults had a friend who was gunned down last month in gang violence. And I remember we sat together and we prayed together. And we talked about the fact that what separated us from them was that divine intervention of Jesus being in our lives. And I remember being able to pray with him and talk with him and care for him. You see, that's what Jesus invites. He invites you to love and care for your brothers and sisters. When I walked around, a lot of people said they were looking for community, they were looking for connection, they were looking for hope. We have that here because of who Jesus is. So come and see. It ends in verses 49 to 51. It says, Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the sons of men. Jesus is calling himself the ladder here. Jesus is saying, when the world was created in Genesis and we saw angels going in and out of heaven, I am your connection to heaven. Through me is how you get home. And it's so powerful because John the Baptist's disciples, they were looking for a rabbi. They were looking for a good teacher. And they found the Messiah. They found the Son of God. I never thought I'd make this metaphor connection, but here we are. Church family, I believe our church is like Costco. I believe you will come here looking for one thing, and your cart will overflow. I believe you will come here, and you will have one thing on your mind. I want hope. You will get hope, and you will get a community. You will get love, and you will get friends. You will get people to pray for you and walk with you. You will get to know the love of Christ. You'll also be expected to serve a little bit, and we'll find opportunities for you. But when you come here, when you come and see here, I promise that your cup will overflow. Because whatever you in your heart can imagine God can do for you, he will do so much more. We do not put a limit on the omniscient Lord, for we know he will continue to bless us each and every day. So whatever you're looking for, whatever you're looking for today, Jesus still asks you, and he still invites you to come and see what he can do for you. Come and see. If you take one phrase away from this sermon, I want it to be that. Come and see. Come and see. And when you're outside and you're talking to your friends who have never been to church, I want you to tell, remember it. Come and see. Come and see. And when people are saying, well, your church really can't be like that, come and see. Because you will be amazed by the amazing people God has put here, by the work that they've done. Do we really let all of our young people lead the service where we have communion? Come and see. Is this church really about to be served communion by people all under the age of 20? Come and see. Are we really, really genuinely going to build a center for the community? Come and see. Will you feel alive in the connection to Jesus Christ? Come and see. That's what we're leaving with, church family. Come and see. Come and see. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we're reminded continually of your goodness. Lord, I thank you for the work you've done in each and every one of our lives. And Lord, I thank you for the invitation you give us to come and see. No matter what we're looking for, we know that you can provide it. So Lord, I thank you for the blessings you give us. I thank you for the work that you've already done in our lives. I thank you for the work you've done at Weston Park Baptist. Lord, I thank you for everything you do. I thank you for the summer camps. I thank you for the opportunities that have been presented to us to truly serve your people. So Lord, I thank you for those who are here for the first time and those who have been here for so many years, Lord, that they continue to come and see you. They continue to come and see your light, come and see your hope, come and see your love. So Lord, we thank you for the blessings you give us and the opportunity to serve you freely as we begin this beautiful month of August. In your name we pray, amen.